Saints of Knox, it's a privilege to be back to share God's word with you this afternoon. Let's turn in our Bibles first to Romans 5. I'm going to read Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, and then I want to focus our hearts, our minds, our attention on to Romans 12:12 for our sermon text. This is God's most holy, inerrant, inspired word, reading from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Very good news, beloved, very good news. If you'll turn to Romans 12:12 now. We're looking here in Romans 12:12 at three very important characteristics, or what we might call essentials, of the Christian life. In Romans 12:12, Paul says very simply, very elegantly, very powerfully, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Thus ends the reading of God's word. We're going to look at this text together and ask the Lord's blessing upon it. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are for us. We thank you that you are a God who has not spared your own Son, but has freely given him up for us all. How will you not with him graciously give us all things? We thank you that we can say boldly and confidently in Christ, if you be for us, who can be against us? We thank you that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ. We pray now, Lord, that you would help your servant to decrease, that you, Lord Jesus, may increase. You're the exalted prophet. You speak to your people. Help your people by your Spirit to see your glory as they look into your word and to hear your voice and thus be transformed. Leave here emboldened, strengthened, encouraged, admonished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 12:12, beloved, a very simple, very elegant command to rejoice in hope, to be patient in tribulation, and to be constant in prayer. We'll use those three as our three points, looking at it briefly together. Can you hear me okay with the mic? Okay. I want us to remember that in this passage, at this point in Romans, Paul is giving us these commands. He's telling us how to live the Christian life. And so before we look at these commands, these imperatives, we always want to situate it in the larger letter of the Romans. We always want to be reminded of what is the good news to us, so that we, by God's grace and His Holy Spirit, can live out those commands in reliance upon His power and grace. And so we're reminded at the beginning of chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that Paul says, in view of God's mercies. And those are all the mercies that he's recorded for us in Christ in chapters 1 through 11, that we are those who, though we've fallen short of the glory of God, we've been redeemed through the propitiatory, final, once and for all work of Christ, who satisfied or propitiated God's just wrath against sinners so that we could be reconciled to Him. Or as we just read, that we have been justified, that is, we have been declared righteous in God's sight, not because of anything we've done, but because of what God has done for us in Christ. And we rejoice that even while we were enemies, Christ died for us, and that we've been given power to live, that if we've died with Christ in our union with Him, and we've been raised with Him when we've died to our old self, our old nature, our old Adamic self and slavery to sin, we've been raised to a new life, a newness of life to live by Christ's help in the Spirit. And Paul begins in Romans 8:1 saying, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the flesh, God did in the sending of His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. God did, and He redeemed those who were sinful so that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so when we think of all the mercies that God has revealed to us in Romans, all the good news of being justified, being sanctified, and being sanctified, continuing to be sanctified, and with the hope of glory, we look at these three commands. The first is to rejoice in hope. Rejoicing, beloved, can be a feeling, but it's first a command. It's an act of faith. Rejoicing is something we do in response to who God is as our God and our King. It's something we do in response to what He's done for us in Christ. It's something we do empowered by His grace. We rejoice. We respond with thanksgiving. We respond with hearts that have been humbled. Only humble hearts, only redeemed hearts can truly rejoice and give thanks to God. And so we rejoice particularly in hope. And hope is not what we might call a wish. Wishes are things merely temporal, things that we might hope would happen. That's how we would put it. Wishes that we have. I wish that this would come to pass. I wish this dream would come true. Hope is particularly what we do in our focus upon God, who God is. God first is our hope. It's hoping, it's trusting, it's knowing God's character. It's knowing that He never changes, that He's always good, that He's always merciful, that He's always wise. We rejoice in hope in God. And as we read earlier, hope is further given to us more fully in chapter 5, verse 2, when we are told that we're standing justified in grace and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This rejoicing in hope is not based on just merely wish. It's based on God and what He's done for us in Christ. And so we rejoice daily. We're told to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in every circumstance. But beloved, rejoicing in hope can be hard. Rejoicing is the opposite of what is our natural tendency to complain in circumstances. Paul's calling us to something higher by his grace in the Spirit. He's calling us to not complain in our circumstances, to not despair in our circumstances. As the psalmist says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? You've got your attention off God. You're merely looking at your circumstances. Your feet are slipping. You're in despair. You're discouraged. Hope in God, for yet I will still trust Him." Rejoicing in hope is turning from the natural tendency to complain, the natural tendency to look at circumstances, and turning to our God in Christ. Seeing the smile that He has for us, how He says to us that we're His children, how He says to us that He loves us, how He says to us that He's for us, and if He's for us, who can be against us? So many ways we could think of it, but rejoicing in hope is turning away from the natural inclination of complaining and just merely seeing circumstances, and it's saying, "I will be obedient, Father, by rejoicing in hope, rejoicing in You, rejoicing in what You've done in Christ, and being obedient by Your grace in the power of the Holy Spirit." This is something people notice. This is something that will encourage others. You've all been encouraged by a saint who's going through very difficult times, trying times, hard times, and yet somehow they're still rejoicing. Even when we see it in ourselves and we're growing in that, we're encouraged. Yes, the Lord has begun a good work in us. He will complete it. He's working in us that which is good and pleasing according to His will. I can see me desiring and even sometimes practicing more of this rejoicing in hope. And so it's something, beloved, we want to say is that we have a knack of complaining. We're of a people who complain. The history of Israel was a history of a people that would murmur against God and forget God's goodness, forget His presence, forget His grace. We're not to forget the gospel. And when we forget, when we remember the gospel, we remember our triune God, who is the blessed Father of the Lord Jesus, who's granted us grace in Christ, and who has empowered us by His Spirit so we can rejoice in hope. Let's rejoice in hope, and then the feelings will follow. We don't ever want to try to follow the feelings of rejoicing. The feelings won't often occur unless our circumstances change. We're being called to rejoice in hope in whatever circumstances. And that's why this second part, the waiting, can be so challenging. Because we're told here to be patient in tribulation. Being patient in tribulation. Being patient is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We live in a world that's a world of instant gratification. Why, it was the time when we would say, you know, a vending machine was characteristic or gave us a picture of our instant gratification. We could put a coin in and we could press a button and then we'd get hopefully a drink or a snack that we desired. But our immediate gratification is far exaggerated today when we have phones, smartphones in our at our pockets, at our bosoms, at our reach, to get about just any information you could possibly want with one touch through a Wi-Fi. And how quickly we say, as characteristic of our age, "Oh man, I can't get a signal." Can you believe this, how long it's taking? It shows that we live in a culture that's having a way of forming us. And Paul says in Romans 12 to not to be conformed, not to be molded into the pattern of this present age. And immediate gratification is what we're being trained for, unless we realize we're called to patience. We're called to delayed gratification. We're called to something that only the Holy Spirit can give as a fruit of His, which is patience, waiting upon the Lord, and especially in tribulation. Patience in tribulation. Patience in affliction. See, this affliction, this tribulation, is reminding us of what our proper expectations as Christians should be, beloved. Yes, many wonderful things have already occurred. We learned earlier that the end of the world has already begun, that we live in the final chapter of God's story, that we just await the grand finale. But not yet. In this world, our Lord Jesus told us we'll have tribulation. But He said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Think about that exaltation. of Jesus Christ. Think about his overcoming the world, his overcoming death and hell and the devil, his overcoming our sin, his breaking us from that bondage to sin and immediate gratification. To have, I want now, I have to have it now, to be have that broken by his power and be able, by his grace, to know the freedom of patience in tribulation. When Paul would plant churches, he would go back around the churches and he would tell them, we're told this in Acts 14, 22 particularly, he would say that it's through tribulation you must enter the kingdom. He would tell them, this is the expectation I want you to have. When he wrote to Timothy, he said, the one who wants, those who are called to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So there'll be hard times. We can expect those hard times. The Lord is using our affliction, our tribulation, beloved, to mold us into Christ. Christ was disciplined through his suffering. Christ underwent on our behalf throughout his life a learning to trust his Father through obedience and reliance upon the Spirit. Also that he could give his perfect righteousness to us and die for us where we are so quickly impatient, where we so quickly grumble. And he, through his Spirit, breaks us free from slavery to sin so that we can be patient in tribulation and say, there's a purpose. My Heavenly Father knows what he's doing. He's all wise. Everything is according to his purpose and plan. I'm never on a plan B. There's never an accident in my life, really. Everything is perfectly ordained by my Father in heaven for my good and his glory. And so we can have patience in tribulation. And I encourage you to meditate on this with me, to pray with me, that we all are able to demonstrate that patience, that delayed gratification, that hoping for the renewal of the world. Isn't this what Paul tells us earlier in Romans 8, when he says in Romans 8, 18, speaking of this patience in tribulation, he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. He goes on to say that there's hope. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And he goes on to say this, verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it patiently. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. And the third thing he says, be constant in prayer. The Bible tells us what a privilege it is that we can go to our Heavenly Father and pray. We can pray the Psalms. There's been often a weary time period, a hard, difficult day or season where I've turned to the Psalms to pray the Psalms, to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name together. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from his fears. Be constant in prayer. We've got an inspired book of the Bible, beloved, where God knows we're in need. He knows we're weak. He knows we're impatient complainers too. And he's full of mercy and grace in Christ. And he says, I'm going to give you a book, a Psalms. I'm going to give you a psalm book. You can sing it. You can read it. You can pray it. You can meditate on it, and you can always remember that I am with you always, and that I know you better than you know yourself, because I've given you an inspired book of Psalms. It tells me I know your heart better than you know it, and I've written it by my inspired spirit, by my power of spirit, many years before you were ever born, so you'd know that I'd know when you need this, you'd have it. pray. Constantly pray. To be constant in prayer. Now, what else would this mean? Paul tells us in Ephesians that we want to pray in a particular way. Look with me at the end of Ephesians, the way he says this when he gives us that famous passage on the whole armor of God, and having really using this armor of God as another way of speaking of being clothed in union with Jesus Christ, having an armor, having a defense against our enemies in Christ. And he says in verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Notice in verse 18, the alls there. Praying when? At all times, at all seasons, all opportunities, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, all kinds of prayers, prayers of rejoicing, prayers of lament, prayers of supplication for others, prayers of request, with all prayer and supplication. And then he says, keep alert with all perseverance and make supplication for all the saints. That's what Paul means when he says, be constant in prayer. Prayer is ultimately what reminds us that we are in union with Christ, because we go to a Heavenly Father who's with us through Christ's mediation. We boldly come to the throne of grace and find help in our time of need through Lord Jesus. And so the being constant in prayer means that we want to learn by His grace how to pray in any and all situations daily, so that it becomes, if you will, a sanctified second nature, that we will pray always, that in the morning when we see the day before us, we're feeling the creak of the back, the pain, whatever it is that's ahead of us, whatever it is we're dreading, whatever it is we're worried and anxious about, that we just begin with a, Father, please help me. Lord Jesus, be exalted today. That's being constant in prayer. Having it become a supernatural, holy, spiritual second nature that you wake up in the middle of the night and you face whatever's seeking to keep you awake with prayer. It's a constancy in prayer with one another corporately. It's a constancy in prayer individually as God's people. And so, beloved, we're to rejoice in hope that we have in God through Christ by His Spirit. To rejoice in that. Feelings will often follow, and I would encourage you to even rejoice in hope until you do feel it. And that it will even more impassion you with zeal to serve wholeheartedly. I encourage you to remember with me to be patient in tribulation. Remember what he says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth to be compared. Say with me in the tribulations that Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Listen, if there's something in this world that's difficult, that's causing us to say, Lord Jesus, come back. Lord Jesus, renew all things. Rejoice, restore all things, Lord Jesus. Or with Paul in our own way saying, for me to live is Christ and to die will be gain. And be thankful for that, because you're being patient in tribulation. And be constant in prayer. That's that great relational aspect, particularly where we're calling upon our Father in Christ, seeking His mercy, seeking His grace, asking for more of His Spirit, praying for ourselves, praying for one another, and asking Him to let this be both formally and informally what characterizes our lives. If we're not just formally praying, those are good times, set apart times, family times, corporate prayer times, prayer meetings, but where you're just praying to God in Christ that He'll help you, You're praying for someone on the way to work. You're praying for someone as you go to meet them. You're praying for someone as you go walking around the town that you might meet a new friend, that you might be able to pray for someone, that you might pray for someone who comes to mind in your congregation. Pray for a friend, pray for a sister, pray for a brother. Be constant in prayer. And so, beloved, join me remembering that because of the mercies of God in Christ, we've been given this grace to grow in three essentials of the Christian life. The essentials of our growth are to rejoice in hope, to be patient in tribulation, and to be constant in prayer. May God continue to grant us that by His grace and Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're so grateful that You have given us freedom in Christ Jesus, freedom not to live for ourselves, but freedom in the Spirit to deny ourselves, to pick up our crosses and follow You each day, to desire more of Your glory, more of Your exaltation than even our own comfort. Lord Jesus, You told us when we came to follow You that we'd consider the cost, that it's hard and it can be heavy and it can be difficult. But we thank You that You promised to never leave us nor forsake us, that You're always with us even to the end of the age. And so we pray that You'd help us to rejoice this day in hope, that feelings will follow of great joy and thankfulness and happiness, that we'd be patient in tribulation, that we'd keep walking the walk and persevering in our relationship with You and in our love for others, and that we'd be constant in prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all the church responded with a resounding Amen.